Hi, welcome to Big Fat Positive with Shauna and Laura. I'm Laura.
I'm Shauna.
And we are friends and writing partners who found out we were pregnant at the exact same time, so we decided to start a podcast about it.
In this week's episode, we have our weekly check-ins. We have a special guest interview segment where we get to talk to a pharmacist who also happens to be pregnant, and we do our weekly BFPs and BFNs. Let's get to it. Hi, everybody. Welcome to episode 14.
Welcome.
Welcome, welcome. We're going to kick it off with our weekly check-ins. Laura, I'm dying to know what week you are and what the heck's been going on.
Well, I'm at 21 weeks, so I'm into the second half of this pregnancy. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's pretty smooth sailing. You know, last week was the big anatomy scan, so this week's kind of boring. But I definitely noticed a trend, which was people are starting to tell me congrats. You know, like, I'm obviously pregnant now. It's not just like maybe I ate a little bit too much. Like, I'm definitely pregnant. And I've bought some, you know, form-fitting maternity shirts. So
ruched, as we mentioned last episode.
Ruched and gathered. Mm-hmm. But so people... Random people have told me congrats. I've been telling more people because the anatomy scan went well. And I have such a weird reaction when people tell me congrats. Like, I feel like, I kind of feel like a fraud.
What? Why? What do you mean?
I feel like I'm not doing anything. Like, you know, because I feel like you and I were both creative folk, right? And I feel like when I've gotten congrats in the past is when I've like worked hard to create something. Mm-hmm. And I guess in like the most primal sense, I am, you know, creating the biggest thing I could ever create, but I don't feel like I'm working very hard at it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's not like you did a school play and rehearsed for 6 weeks and are getting like a bouquet of flowers at the end.
Yeah. It's just like we had sex and then I like didn't have alcohol. I guess what it feels like I didn't do a lot of things. Like, instead of doing a lot of things to get congrats, it's like, I didn't do a lot of things. I don't know.
Yeah, you abstain from alcohol and deli meat and...
Exactly. Yeah, it's weird. It's like, I feel like I'm not doing things instead of doing things to get the congratulations. Like, I'm not drinking, I'm not eating deli meat. Like, all I'm doing is, like, sleeping.
Lots of napping.
And napping and, like, not taking ibuprofen.
Congrats on being a lazy, unproductive person. That's how I feel. But no, oh my God, you're doing so much. You built that baby, you built that placenta, but you know, that's like a whole other organ. Because I know that's what people think when they're telling you congrats. They're like, congrats on building an organ placenta that's creating a child. I mean, yeah.
Sure. Yeah, of course. Good point. You're definitely thinking that. But anyway, that's sort of what's been on my mind this week. But I know that's just my own personal hang up. And Corey thinks I'm crazy. Like, he's like, but you are doing things. I'm like, it just doesn't feel that way.
Well, it's interesting. I think it shows something about your personality that that's how you interpret congratulations. Because to me, it's like a life event type of word, as opposed to like I did a thing, like a task and accomplished it well. Hmm. It's more like, oh, I'm getting married. People tell me congrats because they're happy for like my life moving forward in a happy way or something.
Yeah, but you like you found a, like a good guy. you planned a wedding.
You managed to
keep him. I don't know. Like, you got him to put a ring on it. I don't know.
That's true. That was a lot of effort.
Anyway, that's what's going on with this week. What are you at week wise?
25.
What?
I know, and I have a couple things to report. Steve, my husband, is finally able to feel the baby kicks, like when he puts his hands on my tummy. Yeah. Oh, that's really cool. Like, because I've been trying to get him to, because they feel like, you know, they feel kind of hard to me, and so I put his hand on my tummy and try to get him to feel it, and it hasn't been working. And then the other night, all of a sudden, he's like, oh, I felt it, and I like looked at him and I was just like, oh, and it just felt like a really special moment.
Oh, that's so cute.
Yeah, it's really cute. And I'm gonna take the cute to a creepy level, as I often do. I can also see my belly move.
What?
Sometimes when she kicks really hard. And that is some crazy shit. So it reminded me of these crazy YouTube videos. I don't know if you've seen these, but like moms that are probably further along in their pregnancy than me. Like when the baby's kicking and moving, like you can kind of see the mom's stomach skin just like move, like an elbow's just like moving across her stomach.
Oh no, I have not looked those up. Now I don't know. I'm a little afraid.
Yeah. So I don't know if you've seen these, but if you haven't, at least just watch like a few seconds. We should put a link for our listeners in case they want to see
what you're I'm talking about. Dig up some favorites because this is not a genre of YouTube that I am familiar with. and I've got some down some dark YouTube rabbit holes. Like, you know, one of my somewhat secret shames is I really enjoy like pimple popping videos.
Oh my lord.
Like, it's not like I sit and watch them every night or anything, but like every once in a while, because I've watched some in the past, like it'll come up in a suggestion and it'll be like this crazy whitehead. And I just find it fascinating. So, and you know, it's a whole thing too. Like, there's a whole genre of like, dermatologists have like millions of followers and they'll just post videos of them extracting really gross pimples and stuff.
Wow, that's something. I'm learning something right now. Lots of stuff right now.
And I don't know why I find that okay, but like the idea of seeing a baby elbow go across the stomach is freaking me out.
It's not my favorite thing, but I think I would rather watch that than squirting pimple juice on my screen. But anyway, I have two other things to report. Just because
the topic.
We don't have a Today I Learned segment, but I did learn a couple interesting things that are going on with my with me this week that I wanted to share. First of all, I learned that right now the baby's hair is white. Well, at this stage, all baby's hair is white because there's no pigment yet.
Oh.
So our babies have little white hair.
Oh.
That was kind of crazy. And then my uterus is the size of a soccer ball.
That seems enormous.
Enormous. But it put so much into context. Last week I was complaining about bending over. And it's like, well, no wonder. I have a field game ball inside of my stomach.
Really?
I
just saw you. I mean, your stomach is there, but I can't imagine a full soccer ball. Wow.
Yeah, it's
Do you ever question wild. Those sizes in the apps? Like,
Well, when it's relating to vegetables, yes, because I think that's really stupid. Because one week it's like your baby's the size of an eggplant, and the next week it's the size of a leaf of kale. And it's just confusing. I think they mean length.
Yeah. And also,
but the
like,
soccer ball makes sense because I feel like I do have a like a ball in my stomach.
Well, also, soccer balls are a standard size. Like eggplants can be of all sizes. Are we talking like 100%. A Japanese eggplant? Are we talking like an eggplant that's been GMO'd and it probably weighs like 20 pounds?
They don't specify.
They don't specify.
They leave us hanging.
Yeah. So, all right.
Anyway, that's my check-in for the week.
Cool beans. So our next segment is a special guest interview that we're really excited about. This week we have my dear friend, Carrie Hurley Kim, who is a pharmacy professor at West Coast University School of Pharmacy. And she is also a pregnant lady like us. Welcome Yay. To the show, Carrie.
Hi.
Hi, thank you. Hello, everybody.
So, Carrie, when we started the podcast, we knew we wanted to get you on the show as soon as possible, and then it took a while. So we're happy to have you here now. And will you tell us where you are in your pregnancy? You're ahead of us, right? You're forging ahead.
Yeah, I'm actually 32 weeks yesterday.
Oh, my God.
Whoa, you're so close.
Yeah, getting really close, actually. All of a sudden, it seemed like.
Yeah. Wow.
And you're having a girl.
I am having a girl. Yep.
And we're all basically, it's like 1 month apart. So like you have your girl, Shauna has her girl, then I'll have my boy.
Mm-hmm. And then we have a party with them all together.
Yeah.
Hopefully more than one party.
Yeah.
Hopefully. In addition to being a pregnant person like us, you are a pharmacist and your specialty, you specialize in immunizations, right? Immunization pharmacy. How would you put it?
Yeah. So I dabble in a lot of different things having to do with healthcare and pharmacy, but vaccines are a particular professional passion of mine. That's for sure.
And so I know we were talking at dinner, you know, when we both, when I told you I was pregnant, and you told me something I didn't know, which was about the Tdap vaccine. Can you tell us why it's important for pregnant women, especially, to get the Tdap vaccine?
And what it is.
And what it is.
Yeah, so the Tdap vaccine is actually a vaccine against three different diseases. So the first one is tetanus. So if you've heard, you know, everybody's gotten a tetanus shot, that's one component. The other is diphtheria. And the final one is pertussis. And the reason that we are especially concerned with pregnant women being immunized with the Tdap combination vaccine is to protect the infant after they're born against pertussis. Infants are especially vulnerable to all respiratory diseases, but pertussis is one that is particularly dangerous for babies who become infected. And in California right now, we're actually right in the beginning of another pertussis outbreak year. So it typically comes in cycles of every 3 to 4. And we're on the upswing already for 2018.
Ah, that's bad timing for us, but I guess the vaccine will help, right?
Yeah, so the vaccine is even more important. It's important regardless of what's going on with the epidemiology in a given year, but this year is particularly vital that we all get vaccinated in addition to some of our family members that we can go into a little bit as well.
So are you telling me that as a pregnant woman, if I get this vaccine, that somehow gets transferred to my fetus and then she'll be immune when she's born?
Yeah, so you actually are transferring a lot of antibodies to your baby right now. And when you get the pertussis vaccine, it causes your body to produce a really high concentration of these antibodies that can then be passed on to him or her. Cool. So once she's born, she'll have more protection than she would if you had not been vaccinated. And that's why their recommendation is that you get vaccinated with every single pregnancy, not just the first one. So even though, Shauna, you have a 2-year-old, is that right?
Yeah.
So you probably had it when you were pregnant with her and should still get it again this time as well.
Okay, cool. Is there a certain point in pregnancy when it's recommended to get that?
Yeah. So the CDC recommends that you get it between 27 and 36 weeks. So during your third trimester, but it should be early enough that you have time to produce those antibodies and then pass them on to baby. So the kind of additional recommendation is that you should get it as early in the third trimester as possible. And this helps to make sure that you have efficient antibody transfer and also will provide protection in the case of a premature birth as well.
Oh, good point. Good point.
And with pertussis, it's whooping cough, right? That's what the pertussis is.
Yes, I'm sorry. I definitely should have mentioned that. But pertussis is whooping cough. And the name comes from a really particular sound that especially kids have when they have that type of cough. So it causes really, really strong kind of convulsant coughing. And so you cough so hard that you kind of make a gasping sound when the baby breathes back in.
Aww.
And it's deadly, right? I mean, I think a lot of people who are distrustful of vaccines, one of their arguments is that, well, you know, like modern medicine has come a long way and we don't really need to vaccinate against these things because, you know, it's not as bad as it used to be. But that's clearly not true, right?
Yeah. So when we do see deaths with pertussis, it's typically always in infants. And even earlier this year in July, there was a baby in San Bernardino who died of pertussis.
Wow.
The Department of Public Health hasn't released information about the age or vaccination status of the baby, but they do say that it's an infant. So definitely still a concern with regards to fatality.
And it's just not anything you should fool around with, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I actually had pertussis as an adult, and that was one of the worst experiences of my life. I can't even imagine having it in a, you know, much more fragile, tiny little body. So,
wow.
A lot of people are worried about the safety of vaccines, right? I think that there's a lot of misinformation out there or mixed information that people just say, well, I'm not going to vaccinate because I don't know what's safe, but it's easier just not to do anything. What would you say to someone who is thinking that.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think that it's definitely important to acknowledge that every drug has side effects. Vaccines can potentially have side effects. But at the end of the day, when those recommendations are made by public health professionals, it's because they've looked very closely at the information, both with regards to safety and the effectiveness of the vaccine, and have found that in the case of vaccines in particular, the benefit that we can derive from them far, far outweighs any specific risk that we know of.
What are your thoughts on pregnant women getting the flu vaccine?
So that's the only other vaccine that's very specifically recommended for pregnant women, and is also important for a couple of reasons, different reasons than with the Tdap vaccine. So the flu vaccine is recommended for everybody over the age of 6 months, regardless of who they are, whether they're pregnant or not. But it's really important during pregnancy because our immune systems are a little bit suppressed when we're pregnant. So that puts us at increased risk, not only for infection, but also for complications like other respiratory infections that can happen just because your respiratory system is compromised because of flu. So sometimes we'll see patients with flu ending up in the hospital with pneumonia. So we know pregnant women in general just have an increased risk, not only for infection, but also complications and hospitalizations with influenza. So we recommend very specifically during pregnancy that pregnant women should get vaccinated.
Interesting. What's the timing on that? Like, what time of year or what month-ish should we be doing this?
So the flu vaccine you should get regardless of the timing in your pregnancy, as early as it's available for that season. So the timing of this podcast is actually really fortuitous because the flu vaccine just became available in most parts of the country just this past week. Ooh. So you should be able to go to your pharmacy, your OB, wherever you get your vaccines in your healthcare, and receive the flu shot as soon as you can.
Cool. Thank you.
Yeah, I got mine, so I'm all set there, and I'm excited to get my Tdap. I know that I'm also going to make anyone who's hanging out with my baby, like anyone who's going to be holding my baby, especially in the early months, I'm going to make sure they have to have a flu shot and they have to have a Tdap within the last few years. I asked my doctor what he thought, and he said within the last 3 to 4 years would be the window. Do you agree with that? For the Tdap?
Yeah, I think that's definitely reasonable. Unfortunately, the pertussis vaccination that we have is not one that protects us lifelong. And in adults, we do think that it lasts somewhere between 3 and 5 years in terms of protecting adults and older kids.
I'm not sure how I'm going to verify this. ask for immunization records before you cross the threshold. But I'm not fucking around during flu season and this pertussis season. I don't know about you.
Yeah, I mean, usually the recommendation for Tdap for family members is those that are going to have prolonged contact. Because you're right, it is really difficult to ask any visitor to be vaccinated. I think with flu, it's a little bit more reasonable because that's just recommended for everybody in general. But for sure, fathers, other caregivers, grandparents who are going to be around a lot, any siblings who may be not up to date on their own vaccinations, this is a good opportunity for them as well.
Yeah, that's very smart. Mm-hmm. So Carrie, so to lighten the topic a little bit, let's talk a little bit about just regular pregnancy lady talk, which is something I found really interesting is that you and your husband announced your baby's name. I think you announced it at the same time as you announced you were pregnant on social media, right?
Yeah, we did. And it's funny because I find it interesting that you find it interesting because we didn't really think we didn't have like a in-depth conversation about like, should we keep it a secret or should we let people know? I think kind of my thinking was just if people were going to have an opinion about it, you know, they're going to have that same opinion after the baby's born. Maybe they just won't say anything. Mm-hmm. But we have not had any like, you know, negative reactions or anybody trying to get us to change our minds or anything like that. So,
well, that's nice.
I don't know. Maybe something will happen and I'll wish I had kept it secret, but so far, so good.
Well, it's a very pretty name and it's, I can't see why anyone would object to that name. I don't know if you want to share it on the show. You don't have to, but I think it's very pretty, especially because Rose is, oh, sorry.
That's okay. I don't mind.
I was going to say Rose is my middle name too, so I love it.
Yeah, so her name is going to be Ella Rose. And yeah, it's, I think it's a simple enough name that we didn't really anticipate anybody questioning it or anything like that. So yeah, so yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. I and also, I think you and your husband are like pretty strong-willed individuals, not easily swayed by the opinions of others. Or at least that's my impression of you guys.
And yeah, I've known, pretty much. Yeah, if somebody told me they hated it, I would, you know, be like, well, it's not your baby's name, yeah. So.
See, I'm like
you name
way
your baby something different.
Yeah, I am way too influenced by other people's like opinions, so that's part of the reason
too.
I don't want to say anything, because if, especially my family, like if my mom gave me like a weird sideways glance when I told her the name, I would be like, well, back to the drawing board, you know. And I just don't want to do that.
Oh my God, me too. Well, thank you so much, Carrie. It's been so fun talking to you about vaccinations and baby names. And we would love to invite you to join us for our next segment, which is our weekly BFPs and BFNs. Who wants to start? Laura, do you want to kick it off?
I'll kick it off so Carrie doesn't have to go first. So I have a BFP this week.
Cool.
It's maternity clothes.
Oh, yeah.
Which we all know are great. So the specific reason I say maternity clothes is because I had this revelation that maternity clothes are the only time that women's clothing are made for comfort above anything else. Like, women's fashion is all about looking good and looking as skinny as possible, and like, comfort is never the number one thing, right?
Pajamas? It's,
but that's not fashion. You're not going outside in the
fashion. Good point.
You know what I mean?
Point like, taken.
It's not designed for comfort. Like, everything you wear outside is designed for something else, and maybe it's comfortable, but like, that's not the first thing. Except for maternity clothes. It's all designed for comfort. And it's like, oh, is this what men get to like have all the time? It's like the first time in history women's clothes are comfortable. Anyway, so I'm really enjoying it. I'm really enjoying the stretchy ruched shirts, the stretchy pants, wearing a lot of stretchy shorts. Picked up some Jessica Simpson actually has a lot of like pretty nice maternity clothes, which I'm a little embarrassed to admit that I like, but.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, she's got some shorts that are really cute. So yeah, that's my BFP for this week. Real simple.
Yay.
Maternity clothes, because dressing for comfort is the best thing. So that's my BFP for the week. Maternity clothes, dressing for comfort, always a good thing. Carrie, you want to go next?
Sure. So I have a BFN.
Give it to us.
And so the kind of the background on this is that I'm like extremely independent and I don't really like getting help with things, but I now have to ask for my husband's help to tie and put on certain pairs of shoes.
Didn't we talk about that last episode?
Yes, we were just talking about that last episode. We were wondering what happens, right?
Yeah.
We were like, what happens when you can't bend over enough to actually get your shoes on?
You just have to be really selective about which shoes. So like flip-flops are great, anything that you can just slide on. But I particularly having trouble with like tennis shoes, anything that needs to be tied. And also like certain sandals that have like strappy things and buckles. So
are you still running?
I am still running, more of a slow jog and probably going to be power walking pretty soon.
Well, yeah, so you have to have those running shoes then.
Yeah, I do have some though that don't need to be tied. They are that like stretchy Nike material that you can just slide on and off. So those I can still do by myself, but anything that needs to be laced up, gotten a little bit difficult on getting the right angle.
Have you found yourself in a situation where like your husband's not home and you're like, crap, I need to put shoes on?
I have not yet, but I have wondered, like, would I ask the coach at the gym to put them on for me? I don't know.
The neighbor you've never met. Knock, knock.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it. Well, hopefully you're much closer to being able to reach your toes again than we
are.
Yeah,
that is the good news. Yeah.
Yeah, true.
So, Shauna, I guess you're up.
All right, ladies. I've got a BFP.
Oh, good.
Stool softener.
Oh. Oh man, so, fart noises. This is what we've come to.
I can't help it. Oh my God, my 2.5-year-old daughter makes poop and fart jokes all the time. So it's in my atmosphere. But anyways, so yeah, constipation is a common symptom during pregnancy, especially second trimester. You know, you've got all that progesterone going. Sometimes I just don't eat enough roughage, and I like to pop a little Colace here and there, and keep things
brand?
Moving.
Colace?
I think that's like the main name. You know, I buy the generic knockoff stuff at CVS or Rite Aid or whatever. But
of course,
yeah.
Well, I mean, I assume it gives you the relief you're looking for.
Oh my God. Yeah. Yep. So, you know, ladies, don't be afraid to reach for the stool softener if you need a little help. Not a laxative. I've read you don't want to do a laxative while you're pregnant, but stool softener. Yeah, I should confirm with Carrie.
True. Yeah. Stool softeners are great because they don't get absorbed into your body. They only work in your digestive tract, so they don't affect the baby.
Oh.
Whereas a laxative potentially could be absorbed and also can cause a lot of cramping. So.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. You don't need any more cramping.
No extra cramping necessary. Yeah.
No. I must say I haven't had to resort to that because I buy this pasta. It's called Bonza.
Mm-hmm.
It's garbanzo bean pasta. It's made from garbanzo bean flour. And I think it just does the trick naturally. That's all I'm going to say about that.
Excellent.
It's also really good.
I was going to say, that sounds kind of gross. But is it good?
It is. I really like it. I like it better than regular pasta in certain things. Like with a pesto, it adds like extra nutty flavor to it. And the texture is actually really good. I just cook it like 1 minute less than what the box says, or like 2 minutes. You just have to be a little careful with that because I feel like they want you to cook it longer.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's more expensive than regular pasta, but it's just like packed full of fiber and protein. I started using it when I was like eating more low carb before I was pregnant, and now I just like it. So
sweet.
It does a dual purpose.
Yeah, you got like a double BFP for the week.
Yeah, I'll put a link to Bonza pasta in our show notes.
Sounds good.
And on that note, I think that's our show.
I think right? It is. Fun. Thank you again, Carrie.
Yes, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me. This was a good time.
Bye, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning in.
Thank you.
Yeah, we would love to know where you are in your pregnancy, what your BFPs or BFNs are, or if you have any additional questions about vaccinations or anything else. Any questions you have for us, we would love to hear from you. Laura, where can they find us?
We are on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at BFP Podcast. And if you go to Facebook, you can also join our Facebook group, our community group. Just look for BFP Podcast and click on join group. We also have a website, bigfatpositivepodcast.com, where you can find all our show notes and links to things we talked about in the show.
Big Fat Positive is produced by Shauna Maiko, Laura Bierick, and Steve Yeager.
Thanks for listening.
See you next time. La la la.
I can't hear Carrie, so I'm guessing it's still muted. So
yeah, okay. I think it's
okay.
Muted.
So we can just we take a sip of water.
I want to too, but my water's so far away and I don't want to bend over to get it.